Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today we will be discussing the texts assigned for August 6th, the week of August 6th, and that is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. So we are moving right along through this long season of Pentecost, sometimes known as Ordinary Time. If you are in a church that has paraments or colored altar cloths, those types of things, where the colors change with the season. This is often also known as the green season, and we get a lot of green paraments during this time. So, season of Pentecost, the green season, ordinary time. It's this time between Pentecost and then in the fall when things start moving more toward Advent and more, you know, toward the other seasons of the church year. But it's a long season. If you are not a fan of green, it can get a little tiresome. If you are a fan of green, it's probably your favorite season. I always joke that, not joke, but you know, I like to pretend I'm a little bitter that the Advent is blue, and that's my favorite color. So I only get four Sundays a year with blue paraments, and you green people get way too many Sundays with your favorite colors. So that is completely beside the point. At any rate, how are you? I hope you're doing well. I am going to talk about the texts, read the texts for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost for August, the week of August 6th, 2017. And you know, it occurred to me that I have been doing these podcasts for about a year now, and I don't tend to start or end them with prayer, and I started wondering about that. I'm certainly not opposed to prayer, obviously. I'm not, but I just have never started or ended these podcasts in prayer, and I thought that was a little weird. So I thought today I would give that a shot and just begin this podcast with a moment of reflection and a moment of hanging out with God and with you. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for all of the blessings in our lives. We ask your presence with all of those in our lives who are hurting in any way, who need healing in any way. Be with them. I pray for all of my listeners. I pray for everything that you need for your joys, your sorrows, your hopes and your fears. Surround them with your loving presence, God. Surround them with your Holy Spirit so that they may feel that presence, they may feel your love, and they may know that you are with them no matter what is going on in their lives. And may the words that we hear today and the words of your scripture and the words from me speak your spirit to them in whatever way they need to hear. And I pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So, as I said, we are doing the texts for the week of August 6th, 2017, ninth Sunday after Pentecost. You may have heard that before. You're probably thinking, wow, is there an echo in here? So, without further ado, let's get started on those texts. And the first text comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 5, and those verses are as follows. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know you shall run to, who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. And again, that is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. And we are still working our way through the having two Old Testament readings in this season of Pentecost. So the alternate first Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. And those verses, again, are as follows. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Before I move on to the psalm for today, isn't that a fascinating story that Jacob wrestles with God and he gets a new name out of it? And that's pretty common. We've talked about that with Abraham and Sarah, who were Abram and Sarai before they were renamed by God. And now Jacob is renamed Israel. And of course, he is a descendant of Abraham, and his descendants become they're the 12 tribes of Israel. And so they form the basis of the promise that God made to Abraham, where his descendants would number more than the stars of the sky, more than the sands of the ocean. And so this changing of a name, this giving of a blessing, is a very important theme. You need to pay attention when this happens. But I do love that Jacob wrestles with God, because it's not easy, and yet he's also treated as an equal. God doesn't just come and tell him he's going to give him a new name. It might seem like a test for Jacob, and maybe it was, wrestling with God. But at the same time, it's this interesting dynamic where Jacob comes to God and they wrestle, and neither one of them is able to prevail. God is only able to prevail when he strikes Jacob on the hip, and then Jacob has a limp. So Jacob is brought into God's presence, and he's very happy that he saw God face to face and his life was preserved, because that doesn't often happen, right? Especially in the Old Testament stories. And yet God so easily could have overpowered Jacob, and yet they meet, and neither one of them is able to prevail. So God and Jacob wrestle. And I don't have a nice tidy bow to tie this up with. I just find it fascinating that they wrestle and neither one of them prevails, and Jacob is given this blessing. It reminds me of what I talk about so much in terms of coming to God with your whole self, not coming to God, and only bringing part of yourself, only bringing the good things, or, never arguing with God. Jacob wrestles with God all night long, and Jacob fights with God. If you've ever watched wrestling, there's grappling, there's all sorts of things going on, and it's not necessarily pretty or pleasant. Bring your whole self to God. I keep saying that, but I think it's true. We just have to bring our authentic selves to God. And it might be hard work, and it might not be easy, but it could lead to blessings like it did for Jacob. So that was Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. And the psalm for this week, it comes from Psalm 145. It is verses 8 through 9 and 14 through 21. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. And again, that was Psalm 145, verses 8 through 9 and 14 through 21. We are going to take our first break of the podcast now, but when we come back, I'll be moving on to the New Testament text assigned for the ninth Sunday of after Pentecost. And so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
You just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The Health and Wellness Podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are reading our way through the text assigned for the week of August 6th, 2017. That is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. So far, we have read the first reading from Isaiah chapter 55, the alternate first reading from Genesis chapter 32, and the psalm which comes to us this week from Psalm 145. So now, as I mentioned before the break, we'll be moving on to the New Testament texts. And the New Testament text for this week comes from Romans. We're still working our way through Romans. It is Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, and those verses are as follows. Paul writes, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all. God blessed forever and ever. Amen." So again, that was from Paul's letter to the Romans. It was from chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. And now we will move on to the gospel reading for this week. And that reading comes from Matthew, where, you know, this is the year of Matthew. So we're always working through the gospel of Matthew. And that is chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. "Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' Jesus said to them, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They replied, 'We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over from the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." This is the gospel of the Lord. This is the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And a very familiar story to many of us, the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men, plus women and children. So today's gospel reading, that is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. As I just said, you know, you're probably thinking, you just said that. I did. So this story happens to be included in all 4 of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That doesn't happen with every story, of course, as well as the feeding of, it's the feeding of the 5,000, as well as the feeding of the 4,000 included in Matthew and Mark. So this fact alone really should tell us to pay attention to this story. It's included in all 4 of the gospels. It's included more than once. You've got the feeding of the 5,000, you've got the feeding of the 4,000. And as I mentioned before, it says the feeding of, you know, there were about 5,000 men plus women and children. So this is not just the feeding of the 5,000. This is the feeding of the thousands. I mean, there are, we don't know how many people there are that Jesus has now fed with these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And you might remember that in other versions of this story, it's a boy who comes up with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he shares what he has. Here, I find it interesting that the disciples kind of have this moment of panic. We can't feed all these people. Send them away. Just we don't need to deal with them. And Jesus says, no, we'll feed them. Figure it out. Just, you know, stop panicking and figure it out. So Jesus feeding people is important. And it's really important when you get 6 different versions of it, of what basically accounts as the same text. Feeding of the 5,000, as I said, in all 4 Gospels, plus the feeding of the 4,000 in Matthew and Mark. In Matthew's account, what we read today, Jesus has withdrawn from the crowds to try and find some quiet time. Jesus is needing an introvert moment. He's constantly on. He's constantly teaching, preaching, healing, and he just needed a moment. He just needed some time to get away. And I can only imagine how exhausting it must have been for Jesus at times. So it seems perfectly reasonable that he would want some time alone to regroup, maybe to pray, maybe to gather his thoughts, maybe just to conserve his energy and regain some of that energy that he expends dealing with the crowds, you know, healing and preaching and answering questions and doing all the things that he does so well. But the crowds, as they were known to do, as they had a habit of doing, followed him. And once again, they surround him. They aren't willing to let him have that moment. They want his attention. The crowds are a little bit like a cranky toddler, right? You can't go off by yourself. They need you. They don't care that you would just like to go to the bathroom alone. They don't care that you want to take a shower. They don't care that you'd like to drink that cup of coffee. They need your attention, and they need it now. So here we have the cranky toddler of a crowd finding Jesus, pounding on the bathroom door and saying, come out and pay attention to us. And if it were me, I would most likely be annoyed with their constant clamoring because I do need those times by myself to regroup. But thankfully, this is Jesus and not me. And Jesus, instead of being annoyed or angry with the crowds, he doesn't give any indication that he's upset with them in any way, shape, or form. There's no negativity. Instead, he has compassion on them. And I think this is one of my favorite parts. I mean, I have so many favorite places in the Bible, but this just speaks to me so much about Jesus's character, is that instead of being annoyed at not getting any time to himself, instead of being annoyed that they just cannot leave him alone, he looks at them with compassion. He looks at them with love, and he goes back to doing his work. He goes back to healing and teaching and preaching, and he heals their sick. And so as he's doing this, the day wears on, and finally the disciples, as I said, come to Jesus and say that he should send these crowds away because it's getting to be dinner time and they're in a deserted place. There's nothing to get to eat. And what are they going to do with this huge crowd of people that just wants Jesus' attention? They need food. And again, this is reasonable. You know, you can understand where the disciples are coming from. It's not like they just have 7-Eleven they can jump out, run over to and grab food for people. And really, you could argue, why should they have to feed these crowds anyway? It's not their responsibility. These people keep finding Jesus and demanding his attention. They shouldn't have to feed them too. This is probably a lot of the things that are going, these are a lot of the things that are going through the disciples' minds. But Jesus, of course, has a different approach and a different solution. Instead of sending the crowds away, he asks the disciples if they have any food with them. He says, no, let's just figure this out. Do you have any food? And what they have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. So Jesus blesses that food, that meager amount of food, and then asks that it be distributed. And the result, of course, is this story. And can you imagine being the disciples and coming up with these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Thousands of people clamoring around Jesus now need to be fed, and you've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus blesses them and says, now share it with everyone. And you're thinking, we are going to get mobbed. We, you know, people are hungry. They're going to come and it's not going to go well. And this food is not going to go very far. And then we're going to have an angry, and that word that we use nowadays, hangry, right? They're hungry and now they're angry. So this is going to be ugly. I can only imagine that's what they're thinking. But Jesus blesses the food and then asks that it be distributed. And the results, of course, we know the results. There's not only enough food for everyone. Everyone is able to eat their fill. They have food left over. They have more food left over than they had to begin with. And Jesus has performed yet another miracle. Of these thousands of people, thousands, 5,000 men plus women and children, the number actually isn't that important, because even if it had been 500 or 50 people, the result is still the same. Jesus has fed them with an amount of food that never should have stretched as far as it did. And we're going to talk more about this story and these texts assigned for this week, but we do have to take our second break of the podcast, so stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are, as I've said several times now, talking about the text assigned for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Currently, before the break, we were talking about this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 or however many thousands it really was. It's probably just easier to say the feeding of the 5,000, plus it has alliteration. And as I was saying before the break, the miracle itself is amazing. We could simply leave the story as it is. You know, wow, look at yet another amazing thing that Jesus has done, that Jesus can do. But I think this story tells us even more than just the recounting of yet another of Jesus's miracles. Look at the disciples. They've been traveling with Jesus for a while now, right? They've been witness to some pretty astounding acts on the part of their friend and teacher. But as usual, the disciples seem to be just one step, half a step, something behind, at least in terms of comprehension. Because their first response to the crowds and the lateness of the day is, as I said, perfectly reasonable. Something that many of us would probably also find ourselves doing. The hour has grown late, the people have no food, they've taken enough of Jesus' time, so isn't it now time to just send them to the surrounding villages or back to wherever it is they have come from, so they can find dinner for themselves and their families? It never seems to occur to them that Jesus might be able to do something else. They still aren't on the watch for what Jesus will do next. They still don't quite understand exactly what's going on with Jesus. I think they understand to a certain point, but it's still not their default position, right? And we know that Jesus never did anything that wouldn't in some way show people God and God's love for them, and this is no exception. Jesus' entire ministry was about showing as many people as possible, in whatever ways he could, the kind of relationship that God wanted to have with them. So not only does Jesus heal their sick, but then he provides them with food when they have none. The multiplication of the food is amazing enough in itself, as I said, but the fact that he had all of these people sit down and eat with each other is really another part, an astounding part of the story, and one we probably don't focus on very often. because in Jesus' day, there were very strict rules about who was allowed to eat with whom. Eating was a big deal. Who you ate with was a sign of your status in society. This is a hierarchical society, and who you ate with depended on what level of that hierarchy that you belonged in. So who you ate with was hugely important and had a great deal of bearing on your standing in society. And yet, Jesus doesn't divide the crowd into groups. He doesn't encourage them to go off to their own social settings to find their own food. Instead, he feeds them. That's it. Plain and simple. No questions, no divisions, no fuss. He feeds them and everyone is made full. We've been reading through this Gospel of Matthew as assigned by the lectionary the past few weeks. And these past few weeks, those readings have been parables where Jesus describes what the kingdom of God is like. And he uses all those different images to try to describe something that is, to a certain extent, indescribable, right? But he's trying to break it down. Jesus describes the kingdom by using a variety of metaphors. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, like a treasure in a field, like a sower who recklessly sows seeds on all types of soils, like a field in which good seed was sown, but to which bad seed was later added. Jesus wants as many people as possible to understand the kingdom of heaven and to be able to recognize God's work and God's love for the people. So Jesus uses not just one, but instead a variety of metaphors and parables to try and reach as many people as he can by finding a way that they will be able to understand. And today he continues to do just that. But instead of telling the crowd, now he is showing them what the kingdom of heaven is like. He heals them and he feeds them and he makes no distinctions among them. Maybe it sounds pretty simple, but I think it's actually really profound of what a profound example of what the kingdom of God is like, especially in light of how often our own world rarely measures up to such examples. How often do we simply heal people, feed people, and make no distinctions among them? Not very often. And one year when we were doing a VBS at one of the churches that I was working at, we had something that week called God Sightings. The first day of the VBS, each kid was given a bracelet that said, "Watch for God." And then every day after that, they were encouraged to share their God sightings, where they saw God in the world around them. And so a few examples, they were encouraged to write these down and share them on a wall in the sanctuary at the church. So a few examples were one child who helped another child when he was hurt, a mother's hugs and smiles, a new friend made during that week, a grandparent who loved them, and there were so many, many more, but those were just a few. And these are also really simple examples, you know, from a child's perspective. And they might not seem like much in the grand scheme of things, but they are examples of God's love active and at work in the world. I think the simplest and yet most profound truth we can ever learn is that God loves us. Just a tiny little short sentence, right? And it might not sound like much, but it, in fact, it is the absolute best news that we could ever receive. God loves us. And because God loves us, we're then free to share that love with others. This is the kingdom of God at work in our midst. Of course, we look forward to that day and time when we will all witness the kingdom of God in its entirety, when all of the promises we have from God through Jesus will become manifest and complete and we will witness them. But the good news is that the kingdom is already here. It's already in our midst. Jesus brought some of that kingdom when he took on human life and came to dwell among us. All we have to do is be open to seeing that kingdom in the world around us. So even after that that week of VBS, I wore that Watch for God bracelet a lot, and I still have it, and I still use it as a reminder. It reminds me to pay attention, to watch for God's love at work in the world. The disciples didn't always understand it or expect it, even after they had lived and traveled with Jesus for extended periods. More often than not, they still didn't seem to be on the lookout for what God would do next through Jesus to show them a glimpse of the kingdom. If they didn't get it that close proximity, then think of how much more attention we're going to need to pay because, you know, they were right there with Jesus. We don't have that advantage. And yet, if we hear the words and see the actions of Jesus, we'll learn what to look for. We'll be able to learn to recognize God's love. We'll be able to recognize God's kingdom in the world. So as you go forward into your week, into your work week, into whatever's going on with your week and the days ahead of you after you listen to the podcast, I encourage you to watch for God, even if you don't have a bracelet to remind you. Where do you see God's love at work in the world? Where do you see a glimpse of God's kingdom? Where do you see your own hands and bodies and minds as the instrument for God's love to be made manifest for others? We don't always expect to see God in many of the day-to-day aspects of our lives. We think that some things are just too simple, too easy to be the profound expression of God's love and grace, right? But just like the disciples in today's story, if we don't expect to see God, then we aren't on watch for those glimpses of the kingdom. The world isn't perfect. In fact, it's often downright frustrating and depressing. Jesus didn't fix the entire world while he was here among us, but he brought hope and light and love to everyone that he encountered. And through his life, death, and resurrection, he brought hope and light and love to each and every one of us. So watch for God. Be prepared to see God's love at work in the world, to catch glimpses of the kingdom of heaven, and let that hope, light, and love be made manifest in your lives. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I hope you will join me again next week as we talk about the text assigned for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, all of the apps that you find to use on your mobile devices. And you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. Come find me on social media, leave a comment, tell me what you think. I will continue to pray for you. I will try to remember to continue to pray actually on the podcast, but I will continue to pray for you in my daily life. Thank you so much for joining me. Join me again next week. But in the meantime, please, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.